greetings in the wonderful, blessed, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great joy and a great privilege and opportunity for my wife and I to be with you. And I do covet your prayers. I don't come to you as one that has it all figured out. I confess to you that I have needs in my life. We have needs in our marriage. We have needs in our ministry. We have many needs. So we're in this together. And I'm only going to share what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we will seek the Lord together. And I want to bless you and thank you in Jesus' name for coming out tonight. God bless you richly. We trust the Lord will have something for us. Notice I didn't say for you, I said us, from the Word of God. So God bless you, and thank you for coming out. And I do ask you to keep praying. I know you have been praying. We have met with lots of opposition, lots of resistance. Monday, we were going to spend some time with our family, Mike and Laura. We have five little boys, and Mike is our son is a pastor at Faith Mennonite Fellowship, and we decided to go down to Franklin Institute. And as you remember, Monday morning it was snowing, and we're going down the turnpike, and suddenly everything closed up with fog. And instantly there was just a truck in front, and I hit the brakes, and boom, back of me, boom, again, chain reaction. So my son turned around and he said the car is insurance is in his name and he needs to be there. So he turned around and went off the exit and came around and started coming our direction, 4 miles back, the jam up from the pile up we were involved in. And he had us stop rather suddenly, boom, boom, a boom again. So his car was rear-ended and our car was rear-ended. Two cars were demolished, but not ours, praise the Lord, and not Mike's. We came through it with the grace of God, and nobody was hurt. But opposition, resistance, when God wants to do something, the enemy sticks up his ugly head. But greater is he that is in us, in me, in my son and his family, Christ Jesus, than he that's in the world. We have the victory in him. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm delighted to be here. For a message tonight, the Lord laid on my heart to open our Bibles to John chapter 15, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I will read the portion of Scripture. We're not going to do an expository preaching from this text, but Jesus literally gives us here the gospel according to Jesus Christ. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Can we pray again? Father, we have opened our Bibles. You have spoken to us through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would stand with your servant in the pulpit of God. Wash me in the blood. Put your hand upon me. Open my mouth. Loose my tongue. And may I be anointed, Lord, that I can prophesy your word. The truth of your word and what it really means, Lord, to abide in Christ. Being connected to you. So that we would know you and we could do great work and do ministry for you and whatever you have for us, even in our own families. So, Lord, have your way with us here tonight as we expound your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Here Jesus gives us a clear picture of what he's looking for. Notice verse 2, he says fruit. And a little later in the same verse, he wants more fruit. Then he says, much fruit in verse 5. Then in verse 8, he says, herein is our Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He is looking for some 30, some 60, some 100-fold fruit. And he gives us the key how this fruit growing for his honor and for his glory is going to take place. The key verse you will find is in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, he says. The picture here is clear. God the Father is the husbandman of the vineyard. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Title of the message here this morning, it's evening, is Connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world that knows much and strives to be connected. Connected mobile phones, internet, electricity, some people television, cable, not us, but on and on I could go. Connections, connections, connections. Now, as I look in this room, I am not sure what those jiggers on the wall, on the ceiling there are. There's one over here and there's one over here. What is it, Brother Earl? Well, whatever it is, I'm thinking it is lighting. Well, is there some light coming from it? If it is a light. Why is there no light? It's not connected to the power source. And so there is no light flowing from the power source to the light. I mean, look at it, my dear brothers and sisters. It has a lot of form. It has all the right potential. It looks like it could make some light. And it looks like it could even be a bright light. Much right doctrine, right theology, right form. It's all there. But what's there? Nothing. No light. Why? Yes, because I'm assuming it is a light. There's no connection. It's not connected to the power source. Well, if we're ever going to bring forth fruit that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifies God our Father and builds the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus says we must have a vital, intimate connection relationship with Him as the branch, as the vine. We are the branch. So connected to Jesus Christ is what I would like to title the message here tonight. And here in verse 4, he clearly gives us a picture of a union, communion relationship. First of all, there's a connection. There's a union. There's a vital, intimate connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then through that connection, there is communion. It's a union-communion relationship. You could title the message that. A union-communion relationship with Jesus Christ. Where I am connected to Him as the vine. And His life, His goodness, His grace, His power, His vitality, yea, His own life flows into my life, and my life is His life, and His life is my life. An intimate, vital, connected relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in moving forward, and I know these are familiar scriptures, just go back to 1 John now, in chapter 2. Here we have the Apostle John. He is approximately 90 years old, and he has walked with the Lord Jesus Christ 3.5 years on earth. But now he has walked with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, returned back to glory, for 50 years. 3.5 years in the person of Jesus Christ, he walked with him. But now he has walked with him for 50 years, in a vital, intimate, connected relationship with Jesus Christ for 50 years. He writes, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, I can park on that one for a while. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You see, what we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ's life and how he lived on earth in an intimate, vital connection with his Father. Look what it says in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Get the picture. John says, so you say you're a Christian. So you say that you are following Jesus. Well, then walk as he walked. Talk as he talked. Live as he lived. Walk as he walked. Did Jesus need a vital, intimate, connected relationship? Absolutely. This scripture clearly says so. That Jesus Christ needed a vital, intimate, connected relationship. I am of the absolute persuasion, brothers and sisters, that every great doctrine of the Christian life, Jesus Christ is our example. Doesn't matter if it's a connected relationship. Doesn't matter if it's holiness. Doesn't matter if it's right living, righteousness. Every one of those, Jesus Christ is our blessed Redeemer. He is our Savior. Hallelujah. But he's more than that. He is our example. He is our pattern to walk after, to walk as he walked. And this includes an intimate, connected relationship with Jesus Christ. Abiding in him, presently and continuously, being connected to him. What the word abide means, it means a vital, intimate, connected relationship with him. So Jesus needed to abide. Just as he commands us to abide. Is that okay? Let us learn from Jesus and walking what it means to walk as he walked. In an abiding, connected relationship. In his case, with the Father. Did you ever stop and think? Just park a while. Consider that Jesus Christ, I need to lay this groundwork so we understand it, was 100% God. But he was also 100% man. And many times we credit what Jesus did when he walked on earth to his divinity. Rather than recognizing he's a man. Well, I want to establish that so that we understand that Jesus Christ is a man. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus Christ surrendered his equalness with the Father. It says, let this mind be in you, my dear brother, my dear sister, whoever you may be, that Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The word there is kenosis. What that means is Jesus Christ came to earth, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his God equalness. And it goes on and says he became a form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. So, yes, he's God. He is God, but he empties his equalness with the Father. What it means when it says not robbery, it literally means that he did not grasp it like a robber grasps a treasure. He left it go as a volunteer, his equalness with the Father, and he became a servant in the likeness of men. But even as a man, he found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. There's 7 steps down there in Philippians 2. And I love to preach on it, but I got to move on. What I'm trying to get here is that Jesus Christ emptied himself as a volunteer of his equalness with the Father. And that left him a man. But what about his divinity? How was he then still God? When they came to arrest him there in the garden, Peter, he whipped out his sword when the servants came of the high priest. They came to arrest him, and Peter whips out his sword. Well, Peter's a fisherman. Peter is not a soldier. His sword aim is rotten. He goes for Malchus's ear. Malchus gets his head down and he takes off. He goes for his neck and takes off his ear. What did Jesus tell Peter? Who can tell me? Put your sword away. What else did he say? There's something else he said. Don't you know, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels. What he and how many? Who knows what 12 legions of angels is? 72,000 angelic beings from God to protect him and deliver him. But he would not. What Jesus was saying is, don't you know that I have that authority because I'm still God? I'm still God. He had voluntarily laid down his equalness with the Father, which left him a man. But at any time he chose, he could have taken it back. Remember, he's a volunteer. But he would not, because it was man that sinned, and it was man that needed to die and go to the cross and pay the sin debt that we know that Jesus Christ paid. So he would not. Now, I said all that to establish that Jesus is a man. He's a man like you and I. He's tempted in like points like we are. He has the same fleshly passions that you and I have. He's a man. Is that okay? We mess up here many times. We excuse when he knows how to respond, the great work of God that he does in bringing forth fruit for God the Father. We say, well, that was his divinity. Wrong theology. And wrong theology results in wrong living. We need to recognize he's a man. Now let's establish a little more that we have that settled, that he is a man. I'm one too. Method. Let me see if I can fix the pulpit before I knock it over. All right. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And also in Hebrews chapter 2, it says he took on him the seed of Abraham. He's a man, whereof in all things it behooved him to make like unto his brethren, made like you and I. I'm still just backing up a little bit to get the fact that he is 100% man. Well, then how did he walk his life of perfection on earth, that he's a man? How did he do it? It's not enough to look at how he always pleased God. He always honored God. And he always knew exactly how to meet the need. He's a man. I'm here to first of all to confess to you that I don't always know how to respond when I walk into a difficult situation where there's great needs. I mess up. I'm being honest with you. Well, how did Jesus do it? He always walked with perfect poise. As a man, and to honor the Father and bring forth fruit. How did he do it? Walk his walk of perfection. We have no record that he ever messed up or ever failed. Temptation, every need, he met it with perfect poise. How did he do it as a man? How did he do it? He did it through a vitally intimate, connected relationship with his Father. Now, we're going to do the same thing. Vitally, intimately connected with Jesus. He is our pattern. He is our example to follow. Let's begin in Isaiah 50 now and taking and unpacking all of this. Isaiah 50, we have a prophetic scripture, a prophetic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony of God the Father, prophetically speaking now, of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Just to affirm that this is speaking about Jesus, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame, spitting, and being shamefully entreated, if you would. Here we have a clear picture, prophetically, of when Jesus walked on earth, how he was continually abiding vitally and intimately connected to his Father. First of all, morning by morning, It appears like God the Father would wake him up. He woke up in the morning with his mind and his heart turned heavenward towards his heavenly Father. Question, what do you wake up first thing in the morning? What's the first thought on your mind? What's the first thing you think about? We're going to make some practical application here. What's that first thing, morning by morning, when you wake up? What goes through your heart? What goes through your mind? What are the words that you speak? By the way, whatever that first thought is, that's probably what you're connected to. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it God the Father? Is it, oh, thank you, Lord. Many years ago, God really spoke to me from these verses, and I made a commitment. Lord, my first thoughts and my first words are going to be to you. Good morning, Lord God. Good morning, Jesus. You must have been all night, up all night to give me such a blessed, not wakeful night. Who are you first thing in the morning? We're talking about being intimately, vitally connected. Jesus would wake up in the morning, morning by morning. He woke, connected to the Father. Good morning, Papa. Good morning, Papa. Now, in India, in these countries, when I talk about Papa, they love that. Because that word translates almost across every culture and every language. Papa. I didn't know that, but I found it out. Good morning, Papa. Thank you for a good night of sleep. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Where are we going today? What do you have for me today? This is how Jesus woke up. Look carefully here. Remember, he's a man. He's just like you and I. He woke up in the morning and he would waken his heart and a mind. And it says to have a tongue of the learned. A tongue of the learned. What does this mean? This literally means that Jesus would wake up and he would go, Papa, Father, where are we going today? What do you have for me today? Now, I don't believe that Jesus had a sin-tainted blood nature like you and I do in his blood. But he still could have went his own way and done his own thing. He woke up, Lord, what do you have for me today? Where are we going today? One time God the Father told the Lord Jesus that you're going to walk 50 miles up to Tyre. It's way up in northern Israel. It's 50 miles one way, Sidon of Tyre, I believe. Am I saying that right? I'm just running it off my mind. It's way northern Israel. From where he was, it's 50 miles. And he only ministered to that Syrophoenician woman's 12-year-old daughter, if I have my facts memory right. And then he walked 50 miles back. Ministry. Serving others. God the Father. Where did he get that? He didn't get it from his own intuition. God the Father ministered to him. He had a tongue of the learned. And he went there and he ministered. He always woke up with one ear turned towards heaven to hear from the Father. And then he also had his eyes down here where the needs are. One ear towards heaven and the eyes on the needs of the people. Look what it says. He would wake up and he was ready to obey. Ready to do what God the Father would tell him to do. And it goes on to say, he says, He was not rebellious. He never neglected that time with the Lord. He never neglected hearing from him. He never neglected or rebelled against that. He was always very passionate to have his direction from the Father morning by morning. And in that way, as he would wake morning by morning and wake mine ear to hear as the learned, he knew what to minister to the weary. Look what it says. And it says, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He had a word because he was connected to the Father and the Father was revealing to him, speaking to him what the needs are. By the way, what if God would speak to you in the morning and say, today I want you to totally alter your schedule and I want you to go thus and yea to minister maybe to someone in the church. Go visit them or someone in the community. Would you be available to minister a word to the weary? Would you even hear? Would I even hear? Jesus did. And then he would go and do as the Father said. And thereby, in that way, in his vital, intimate, connected relationship, he had a ministry. He was able to minister to the needs. Now, it looked like he knew and had the tongue of the learned. But where was he getting it? He was getting it from the Father. Because he is a man, just like you and I are. Let's get an example of this. Mark chapter 1. How jealous Jesus was for this. Jesus begins his day in Mark chapter 1 in verse 17. Apparently God the Father ministered to him. And verse 16, I said 17, I'm sorry. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. He's beginning his day and he calls his disciples to follow him. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. There's at least one of the times that Jesus says, come after me, and I'm going to use you to minister in bring fishing for men. I'm going to use you. Follow me, and you're going to do as I do. Be a fisher of men. Jesus came for one primary purpose, and that is to seek and save the lost. But let's just keep moving. So this, Jesus had some clear direction here, which men to choose, that God the Father perhaps had worked already in their heart in preparation. And he chooses his disciples. But he continues as the day progresses. It's the Sabbath day. And in verse 20, just going forward, straightway he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the ships with the hired servants and went after him. They didn't delay. They went after him. And then the other one I wanted was verse 21. Number 2, after he called his disciples, they went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and there he began to minister. What did he minister? God the Father is ministering to him. He's hearing his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow. Jesus is doing the same with the Father. And they were in the synagogue and there he taught. And then in verse 23, number 3, so we have him choosing his disciples. In verse 21, he is teaching in the synagogue. And then in verse 23, moving forward, there was a man in the synagogue, an unclean spirit, and he cried out. And now Jesus is doing ministry. He is bringing deliverance to those that are in demonism. Why? Because he has a word for the weary. He has a word from the Father for the needy. But there's more. We'll just let that go. You find that all the way where he brought deliverance to the demon, to those in demonism. That goes all the way over to verse 28. But now let's drop in at verse 29, number 4. So we have he chooses disciples. He's in the synagogue teaching, number 2. And number 3, he's bringing to deliverance in Jesus' name to those that are in demonism. Then in verse 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, he brings healing to Peter's wife's mother. Notice, ministry. Ministering. Touching people's lives. Where does he get it all? Vitally, intimately connected to the Father as a man. Yeah, they came out of the synagogue. They entered in the house of Simon Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And they tell him of her. And it came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. He is ministering. He's touching. He is touching people's lives. There's healing. There's deliverance. Remember, Jesus says, follow me. More than 20 times Jesus says in the Gospels, follow me. Now, if Jesus was not a man, and he had something that we don't have, as a believer, filled with the Spirit, with the touch of Jesus Christ, salvation, if he had something we don't have, then can we follow him? We cannot follow him. He is a man. He is our example of abiding in the Father. And as he calls us to abide in him. But there's more. Finally in verse 32, number 5. Now it is evening. And when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them. You know, now it's evening. We started in the morning. Now it's evening. Same day. And when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak unto because they knew him. Now, I don't know if any of you have any idea the intense virtue that takes out of the physical body. That kind of a day. So many decisions, so much ministry. Setting by the grace of God and the glory of the Father, setting those free from devils. I don't know how much demonism you ever worked with, but I want to tell you something. That takes great virtue out of your life. That takes great virtue and strength out of your soul, your emotional being. All day long, he's making very important decisions of ministry. Deliverance, healing. The end of the day now, sun is going down. There are multitudes there. And he's bringing healing, he's bringing deliverance. And I can just imagine, as a man, don't ever forget that part, as a man, when Jesus Christ finally walked out through the eastern gate, down through the Kidron Valley, and he went up in the Mount of Olives, and there he found a place in a cave. He did not sleep in the city. And he laid his head, as a man, on a stone. He was emotionally and physically exhausted. Drained. Well, certainly, I'm going to get a good night of sleep. And I'm going to spend a long night of sleep. I'm going to sleep in, young folks. Yep, I'm going to sleep till 9, 10 o'clock. I don't know how you do that. Maybe you don't do that, but I know some that do. I have no idea how they do it. But look at Jesus as a man. I keep repeating that so you get it. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. Remember, his ear turned towards heaven. Papa, I need to hear from you. What do you have today? Where are we going today? Notice I say we. What time is a great while before day? Brother Ken, is that right? What time is a great while before day?
Early in the morning.
How early in the morning? Some young people once said 6 o'clock. I see some of you saying, What do you think? Brother Roy, what do you think? What time is a great while before day? You agree? Maybe 4 o'clock? Do you notice how Jesus is very jealous over that morning quiet time? That morning time to hear from the Father. What about you? What about me? I didn't get up at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm not going to deceive you. I won't do that. But I rise early. I'll make it by about 5, quarter after at the most. Especially when you're jet lagging, then it's 3 o'clock. But what about you? You see, Jesus was jealous over that connected time. But not only in the morning. All day long he had his ear. Father, what shall I say? What shall I do? Very important principle in understanding what Jesus meant when he said, abide in me and I in you. Connected. A union, communion relationship. Jesus is a clear example of that principle and that pattern. Real quick. John chapter 5, verse 26. And verse 27. I'm moving right along here. I hope I'm not going too fast. We're all speakers of English in here. I don't preach like this when I go to India and Nepal and all these different countries. It just doesn't work that way. But I feel a liberty here this evening. Thank you. In John chapter 5, verse 20, we're following a little more about Jesus and his example of what it means to be intimately, vitally connected to the Father. And we do the same with Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 26 and verses 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So, when you watch the Lord Jesus Christ walk on earth, whose life do you see? Whose life do you see? From this verse, you see the Father's life. It's not his own life. It's his Father's life. And that's the same thing that Jesus is endeavoring to give us an example. When we are intimately, vitally connected to him, we are Christ-like. We are exemplifying his life. And what was he doing in his life? He was always going about ministering to others. I'm not saying it's always, I'm just taking it from him. Remember, he's our example of what it looks like if we're connected. It's always the Father's life. You want to know what God the Father is like? Study the life of Jesus and be made Christ-like. And his life becomes your life. And your life is his life. And his life is your life. You can't separate them. Recently, God really opened up to me. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be Christ-like. And it means to be about Christ's business. It means to be just like him, doing what he did, talking as he talked, walk as he walked, just like John said after he had walked with him for 50 years. He understood it. And he tells us, walk as he walked. Let's go to John 6:38. Here's another one. And it seems that John understood this the best of all the gospel writers. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, Jesus Christ, all day long, day in and day out, his will was to do the Father's will. This was the purpose that he came. His own will. He had a will. He was a man. He had some like passions, perhaps like we do. And he had some own desires. But no, he always denied that will. He denied it. And he said, Papa, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to walk as you walked. I'm going to do as I see you do. In fact, you see that in John chapter 8, verse 28. Another verse, John chapter 8, verse 28. This is challenging. This is what it means to abide in Christ. We're learning from Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus says, Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Notice it appears like they did not understand this. The disciples didn't even understand this, that he was a man. And that he always did nothing of his own will. I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. He is telling them that after he's crucified and he rises again, he's lifted up. Then they'll understand that he was not doing his own will. He was just a man. He wasn't doing his own will. He was always doing the will of the Father. Jesus is teaching us, what about me? Am I always doing his will in holiness and separate from worldliness, separate from sin? That's the will of the Father. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Always pleasing him, always about the Father's business through Jesus Christ. Challenging when you really look at Jesus abiding in the Father. And he says, now you follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow my example. And I will make you a fisher of men, just like I am a fisher of men. And this is not a missions message. This is a message about being connected to Christ. But missions will be the overflow and the outflow of that. It can't be any other way. It just simply can't be any other way. You will be ministering to others. You'll be so full of Jesus Christ. You'll be so full of life. You'll be so full of joy that you will draw others unto you. What do you have? What makes you who you are? Well, it's an overflow of knowing him. An overflow of walking with him. An overflow of abiding in him. Here's another one. John chapter 5, verse 19. I love pulling these out. They challenge me to the very core of who I am every time I look through these. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says it again. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. What? Jesus? The Son of God? What are you saying? I can do nothing of myself as a man. As a man. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also does the Son likewise. Jesus was a perfect imitator of the Father. Am I an imitator of Jesus Christ? This is what the connection will do. This is what knowing Jesus will do. You will become like Him. Knowing Him, walking with Him, will purge you of self. It'll break you. It'll break you of sin. It'll break you of wanting to be like the world and follow its fashions. It breaks you. That's what happened to me that Lawrence was talking about. When I got to know Jesus Christ, I knew that it meant surrender all. Be broken of all self. Jesus was such a broken man. He says, I do not do my own will. I only do that which pleases my Father. Broken of all self. Am I broken of all self? My own dreams, my own aspirations, my own agenda. Broken to follow Him. To be made like Him. A lot to ponder. Not a one of us is any more Christian than we are Christ-like. Is that all right? Not a one of us. We have made Christianity something, a bunch of do's and don'ts and have-tos and law, and I don't want to go there. It's all about knowing Him and following Him, being made like Him. John chapter 5, verse 30. Whenever I'm having a good time with the Lord in the Word of God, that clock races. Did you put that thing in overdrive, Brother Earl?
Nope.
I haven't been in enough overdrive. John chapter 5, verse 30. Another beautiful picture of Jesus abiding in the Father. And the call is that we abide in Jesus as He abided in the Father. I can of my own self do nothing. Did we read that before this evening? Can you tell me where? The first time. John 15. Jesus said that about Him, His own ministry, His own walk on earth in bearing fruit. I of myself can do nothing. Well, if He could do nothing of His own self, so much the more you and I can do nothing. Amen? Oh, we could do many things, but it won't be fruit that brings honor and glory to the Father. Oh, we can do many things. I can do many things. And so can you. I mean, we can build our empires. We can build our business. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Please understand. But let's recognize that in all of that, the ultimate connection we need is so God can use us to minister to others, is to know Jesus Christ. An intimate, vital, connected relationship with the person of Jesus Christ as He had with the Father. I can my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. It is righteous. It is without fail. It will bring honor and glory to God. How can that be, Lord Jesus? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let me illustrate this. John chapter 8. Jesus is ministering, and them self-righteous Pharisees, they caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And they bring Jesus, they bring this woman caught in the very act. I have no idea where the man was, but they bring her to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, the law says she must die in being stoned. What did Jesus do? Go on, you Bible readers, tell me. He got down and he wrote on the sand. See, we try and figure out what he was writing on the sand. Well, let me suggest to you something totally different. Jesus is saying, Papa, 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 that is what the law says. Remember, he's a man. Papa, what shall I say? Papa, they're right. That's what the law says. And he's writing, he needs to hear from the Father. He needs a word from the Father so he can minister to the weary, those in the needs. And he keeps writing. And the accusations are there. Perhaps the accusations continue. Finally, Papa says, Son, tell them. Yes, Papa? Tell them. He that is without sin, shall throw the first stone. Oh, thank you, Papa. Yes, Papa. Thank you, Papa. And he gets up and he says, you that are without sin, you throw the first stone. Where did he get the word? He's a man. He got it from the Father. And what happened? From the eldest, it happens twice in here, from the eldest to the youngest comes under conviction. And from the eldest to the youngest, they drop their stones and they walk away. Intimately, vitally connected to the Father. I of my own self do nothing as I hear. Papa, it's very clear. As I hear, look at your Bibles, it's very clear. I speak or I make a judgment, and my judgment is right. It's just. Needs, conviction will come. Needs will be met. Because I do not seek my own, I'm not going my own way. I'm not doing my own thing. I don't have my little pattern of what I'm going to say to try and minister to people. I got it all figured out. No, Lord Jesus. I wait to hear what to say, how to say it, and He will help us, just as the Father helped him. And needs were met. He tells the sinner woman, then one by one they left, and He tells the sinner woman, the woman that was caught in the very act, where are your accusers? She said, there are none, Lord. And he tells her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus abiding in the Father. As I hear, I judge. It's not my own will. It's not my own words. We're really talking about being intimately connected to Christ. And may I add in there? Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and thus and yea, it's all part of it. Hearing His voice. Following His example. Let me just make some practical. One more. Let's go to John 6 yet, real quickly. John 6. We have verse 51, verse 53, John 6. This is one of my favorite ones. He says in 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And this bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, the Jews, they strove. You see, Jesus is speaking here about literally partaking of His life. Literally knowing Him. It's a union, communion relationship, presently and continuous with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto them, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of His blood, you have no life in you. He's talking about a present, continuous union, communion relationship with Him. Not only in the morning when you have your quiet time, but through the day, a union, communion, your mind is stayed on Him and you're meditating on Him and you're hearing His voice if He wants to give you direction to go here, go there. You hear His voice and you follow. And He is likening here the relationship that we are to have with Him in the same likeness of the relationship He had with the Father. You see, Jesus is speaking here about a relationship with Him. Look at verse 63. These scriptures can be a little hard to grasp. But in verse 63, He helps us understand it. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He's not talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. He's talking about a union, communion relationship. Knowing Jesus Christ. Walking with Jesus Christ. Following His example, just as He had a union, communion relationship with His Father. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they're Spirit. And they are life. Spiritual life. Vitality. Intimacy. With Jesus Christ. Well, many of the disciples, they couldn't handle this. This was too much. Enter religion without relationship with Jesus. And that's still with us today. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But this kind of intimacy that Jesus had with the Father, the people of God that say they're Christians, they know nothing of it at all. It's all just aloof, you might say. From that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Religiosity. Don't know him as he knew the Father. I'm here to encourage us to know Jesus Christ in the way that he knew his Father and walk with his Father. Now, verse 57, backing up a little more. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father. That's what we've been looking at. That's exactly what we've been looking at. As the Father sent me, and let me just add the emphasis there, as a man, and I live my life on earth by the Father. Everything you see me do and everything I did was through my vital, intimate, connected relationship with the Father. Then he goes on and says, so he that has this union, communion relationship, even he shall live by me. There's the whole message in one verse. Jesus is saying, the way that I live my life on earth in my union, communion relationship with the Father, now you say that you know Jesus, you follow my example. He says, so he that eateth of me, even he shall live by me. What is your life here this evening? Is your life Jesus Christ? Is your life following Jesus Christ's example? Just as we looked at, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread, the intimacy, its eternity begun in the soul, Jesus Christ. Walking with him, being used of him, knowing him in everyday life, just as Jesus did. Challenge here this evening is this. The enemy knows, and worldliness knows, the more he can keep us busy, keep our minds occupied. I tell you what I just shared tonight, our culture today and our society today demand the workplace today. It demands everything. The brain has to be fully focused, fully occupied, intimate with that work. It's so intense. It's so real. Is there any time to just quiet our minds and hear his voice? I'm sure there is, but we must discipline ourselves. We must have our hearts and minds full of Jesus Christ, overflowing. That whenever there is that free moment, you create that free moment. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Intimacy with him. I know what it's like in the workplace and the challenges of focus. And I mean, I remember working at a hardware store. I better wouldn't say where it is or you'll know. Some of you already know. And I was just loved when the Lord prodded me to share the gospel. Clarence, where's Clarence? He's back here. He could talk some about this. We're not going there. My boss said, you're supposed to be at work. You're supposed to work. Don't try and figure out who it is, please. I got myself in trouble. I don't like when you do that. What are we going to do? The demands of business, demands of technology, the demands of work. May I say it just simply go very contrary to this. Is that all right? What am I going to do about it? It's doable, but it takes a lot of knowing of Christ. You don't know Christ any more than you choose to. You again and again, and we'll talk more about this as the week goes on. Sacrifice, surrender, brokenness of my own will. It's doable, amen? But it's a discipline. It's a challenge, but it's doable. By the grace of God and by knowing him, that you get so bold that you just simply can't shut up, back up, or slow down. You're so full of him, knowing him, that it just comes out like a river of life. May not be appreciated, but that's all right. It's all right to be a nut when you're screwed on the bolt of Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you. I don't think I'm going to give an invitation. I think we've had enough. I know I could open up the altar. There's probably many of you. Maybe you, Pastor, see it differently. I don't know. Yeah, but there'll be opportunity. I think we've heard enough that We have a lot of responsibility as a true child of God on our hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Master, and our example of what it means to abide in an abiding relationship as Jesus did with the Father. Lord, I pray that we would find ways to be more deeply and more intimately connected, knowing Him, first of all, through a rebirth, being born again, and experiencing Him, a new life, and then in the midst of that, growing, going from milk to meat, and growing in Christ Jesus, walking in Jesus Christ, and becoming more and more like Him, growing in grace and knowledge of Him. More and more people would see Jesus Christ in us, that they would be drawn to us to hear your word, to hear your truth. Lord, help us in this. We need you. We know that you give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. Humble us, Lord, that we would know that we need to go deeper and how we can put all this into practice in the way that Jesus did it in His day. Forgive us where we fail and we falter in this, in knowing you the way that Jesus knew the Father. Lord, we look to you to take us deeper in the days ahead. Minister to us. We need you. We know we need you. We need all of you. We need more of you. We're not satisfied where we're at. We want more of you because you want to flow through us more and more to minister to a needy world around us, right where we are, right in our workplaces and wherever. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do I give it back to you? Thank you. You've been a very attentive audience. Thank you so much. Yes, Brother Lawrence.
That's a good start, brother, to lay the groundwork that Jesus was a man. I know that is a principle that brings wrong living. You know, you mentioned that wrong theology brings wrong living, the same as the Calvinists do with the unconditional eternal security. It's wrong theology, and it brings wrong living. It brings a license to do, well, everybody sins, and there's a room for the flesh. I thank you for bringing that out tonight and laying the groundwork for that. I believe it's going to help us in understanding that as the Word of God comes forth here to consider those words. And that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and all. To make any one of those are equal, and if they any one of those make a doctrine out of the way, I know the way that he says the way is narrow, and the broad way and the narrow way. Then the truth, if we make a doctrine out just the things of truth, but there's a life there to live. There's a life that Jesus. It gives an example, like you said tonight, that there's a life that He laid for us to live, or in a real way. So, okay, I think we'll close at that. It's 8:20 after 8:00.